Our scripture passage this morning is the 10th commandment. Exodus chapter 20, verse 17. Exodus chapter 20, verse 17. Let us hear God's word. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious and Heavenly Father, you have blessed us with your tender care already this morning. And we ask that you would continue that tender care, that you would send your Holy Spirit, that you would open up our ears, that you would bless the preaching and the hearing of your word. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. How would you like to live in a glass house? I don't think anybody would be comfortable with that. A glass house reveals everything that we do. We would be very uncomfortable. But what about a glass house that not only reveals everything you do, but everything you think, all your thoughts, all your desires, all your motivations? Well, this is the work of the Holy Spirit. Listen to what the writer to the Hebrews says. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all of creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before His eyes, of whom to whom we must give an account. The Holy Spirit can divide that which is undividable. Thoughts, desires, motivations. Like a microscope that can see the invisible with the naked eye. So the Holy Spirit can see our every desire, our every intention, our every motivation. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and the law of God, they work together. They work together to draw us to look to Christ. They are the best co-workers. They are running on the same track. They have the same destination. The Spirit takes the law of God, and like a surgeon's scalpel, He probes into our heart and reveals what we really are. And it was this work of the law of God and the Holy Spirit that exposed the Apostle Paul to the pride and self-righteousness that was within him. Paul rightly understood the law of God. He thought himself that he was quite a righteous man. He says in Philippians, as for legalistic righteousness, I was faultless. He was a Hebrew among Hebrews. In obeying the Ten Commandments, Paul had surpassed all the others. He was a religious superstar. He was a celebrity, so to speak. Living in our day, he would have had his own talk show, you see. He was the man. But the Spirit has other plans. The Spirit takes the law of God and opens up Paul's heart to reveal what is really there, not just what's on the outside. That was the problem for the Pharisees. As long as you obeyed God's law outwardly, you're okay. But the Holy Spirit, using the law of God, pries open Paul's heart and reveals what he really is. Paul says that at the beginning, he was a Hebrew of Hebrews, meaning he's the man, he's top shelf. But then, at the end, all he can say was, "I am chief among sinners." Paul in Romans says, "I would not have known what sin was except through the law." So it was through studying God's law that the Holy Spirit opens up Paul's heart and allows Paul to know himself as a sinner instead of a righteous man. But here's the key. There was one commandment more than all the other commandments that was the turning point for Paul. There was one commandment that stopped Paul in his tracks. There was one commandment that caused Paul to tremble, tremble, tremble. Now, what was that commandment? Well, probably most of us would guess, well, it's commandment number one. Oh, that's a good one. That's why it's number one. But in reality, it was the 10th commandment. Thou shalt not covet. Paul says, "For I would not have known what coveting really was if the law had not said, 'Do not covet.' But sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandments, produced in me every kind of covetous desire. Like a glass house exposes all that goes on in the house, so the 10th commandment exposes everything that goes in or comes out of Paul's heart." Now, why is this? Why is it the 10th commandment? Why not number one? Why was it the 10th commandment of "thou shalt not covet" that was the commandment that really broke Paul's pride? The other commandments, when they are superficially understood, meaning not correctly, but just superficially, do not get to the bottom of the problem. Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and mother. Have no gods before me. Do not make for yourselves any graven image. Honor the Sabbath day. Do not take the Lord's name in vain. These are all good commandments. But it was the 10th commandment that stopped Paul in his tracks and alerted his mind and his heart to what he really was. The 10th commandment was the magnifying glass or the microscope that all the other commandments are to be judged by. Think about this. If you cut off a dog's tail, it doesn't drastically affect the dog. We've all seen a lot of dogs who have had their tails cut off. But if you cut off the tail of the fish, it's a different story. Because the fish needs his tail in order to go through the waters, in order for the oxygen in the water to go through the gills. The 10th commandment, it is the tail of all the other commandments. If you cut off the tail of the 10 commandments from the head of the commandments, then you're not really showing what all the other commandments are teaching. To remove the 10th commandment from the other 9, you end up only superficially teaching the other commandments. Thus, it works this way. I could hate someone, but as long as I don't outwardly show it, I'm okay. As long as I don't physically hurt them, everybody's cool with me. I could lust after another woman, but as long as I didn't physically touch her, nobody pays attention. I could love money, and I could do it without breaking the first commandment. I can do all the commandments without taking them all seriously. And that's what happened with the Pharisees. All they did was look on the outward things. And as long as you're looking on the outward things, you've got a checklist. Here, we're doing that, doing this, and doing that. But when you come to the 10th commandment, it goes right to the motivations of why you were checking off all these things. And the motivation is pride, arrogance, wickedness. This is the Pharisees' problem. This is why the Pharisees opposed Paul. This is why the Pharisees opposed Jesus Christ. Because the Pharisees would pride themselves. I've done all of this since my youth. But Jesus would say, all right, you lack one thing. Go sell all that you got. Give it to the poor and come follow me. See how Jesus goes right to the point. It is the motivation of the heart. You think that you are obeying these commandments, but in fact, you are rebelling against every commandment because your heart is not right. Paul thought himself righteous. He thought he was a good dude until Jesus Christ comes into his life and through the Holy Spirit opens up his heart and shows Paul what he really is. Not only have you failed to commit obedience to this commandment, but my friend, you ain't obeying any of them. Why? Because your heart is not right. You see, you need to understand that God requires righteousness on your part. Anybody that's going to be saved, they've got to be perfect. You better listen to me, because this is where the rubber meets the road. If you're going to be saved from your sins, you've got to be perfect. But guess what? You're sin. You've already sinned. So you can't be perfect. So therefore, you better have somebody stand in the gap who has a righteousness and a perfection that they have earned, and they are willing to count you righteous and perfect because of what they did. That is what Jesus Christ has done for you. You say that you cannot meet the standards of righteousness? I know. You can't. And so, you can stop trying. You can stop trying to make yourself righteous. You can't do it. And the more you try, the more you're going to hate it. But the law in the Spirit was given not so that you would become righteous. But the law in the Spirit was given to point you to the one who is righteous. To point you to Jesus Christ. So that you would get down on your knees. That you would confess your sins. That you would receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. This is what the Holy Spirit prompts you to. This is what the Holy Spirit empowers you to. This is what the law of God says you better do. Because without Christ and His righteousness, my friend, you have no hope. You can go on continually trying to establish a righteousness of your own. But that outward righteousness is always going to be tainted with sin. It's going to be tainted with sin because you cannot obey the 10th commandment. And the 10th commandment opens up your heart to show you that you are unrighteous, but that Christ is righteous and He will receive you if you come to Him. Jesus Christ has fully met the requirements of the law. He has fully met the requirements of the law. And this is what Paul says. Listen, Romans chapter 3. Now, the righteousness from God, apart from human efforts. See, there's a righteousness that God's willing to give to you, but it is apart, not connected to you trying to be righteous. Now, the righteousness from God, apart from human efforts to obey the law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. It's been made known to you. It's been made known to you this very day. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Christ Jesus to all who believed. If you have no righteousness of your own, and get this, my friend, you don't. So don't keep trying to convince yourself that you do. If you have no righteousness of your own, then God's word says, get off your rear end and you fly to Jesus Christ, and I will be faithful to cleanse you from sin and to deliver you from the evil one and to keep you for myself for eternity. You remember the story of Noah and the flood? You know, you learn that when you're a child in VBS. When the flood began to happen, God didn't say to Noah, now we've got all these different things that you can choose from. We got a smaller boat here, a bigger boat over here. This boat up here is going to have some animals in it. But these will work. Did God say that? No. What did he say? This is it right here. This boat right here. And then the scriptures say, God put him in there. And he shut the door. And then the judgment came upon the earth. My friend, those that I have known for a long time, those that I've just met, you have no hope outside of Jesus Christ. You have no hope outside of Jesus Christ. Let that judge your thoughts and your motivations. That every attempt you try to be righteous just adds more and more sin upon you. Therefore, you flee to the one who had no sin. You flee to Jesus Christ. The yellow brick road led Dorothy to Oz and the wizard. The law of God, the Holy Spirit, leads us to Christ. Abandon any thought that you may have that you can escape coveting, because you can't. Instead, you flee to the one that never coveted anything, and all he ever desired to do was to do the Father's will, and that was to bring you to heaven. Let's pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we thank you for your love to us in Christ. Oh, heavenly Father, forgive us because we do try to establish our own righteousness. But your commandment of thou shalt not covet reveals to us that even on our best days, there is sin in our life. Oh, Father God, give us a heart for Christ, for it's in his name we pray. Amen.